Welcome to Plot Points with Amanda and Christian,
where we talk about all things fandom.
I'm Amanda.
And I'm Christian.
And today is our season one finale, and we're going to be talking about Christian's thoughts and impressions and my questions for him about season one of Star Wars: The Clone Wars.
Yep, which I just finished like yesterday, I think.
So, just kind of like we'll start with an overview, like, what did you like? What didn't you like? Just kind of overall thoughts about it. Because I've seen all seven seasons and the movie. So like, I know everything.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was disappointed. I didn't run into any of the spoilers I knew yet. That's a minor disappointment, but no, it was good. This is going to sound like a stretch, but it kind of reminded me of Band of Brothers, like HBO's Band of Brothers. If it was made for kids in the Star Wars universe and the officers were Jedi. Like I said, a stretch, but just the feel of it, the feel of sort of, I guess it didn't have like a through line of story like that did, where like they're in one place and they're following them through World War II. For this, they're kind of just jumping on missions.
Yeah. When it first started out, it was, the thought process was like an anthology series, so it wasn't supposed to be linear. But then I think somewhere around season, like half of season three into season four, they realized that like, they kind of realized what people were invested in, and they realized that like episode arcs and storylines were what people wanted to see. And so it gets more, more continuity gets put in throughout like seasons four, five, six, and seven.
Yeah, which I feel like they kind of have that in the first season, more so than I expected, because they have like, three episodes or so are one story and then three another. So like there is, it might not be like this episode is this week, that episode is the next week, so on and so forth, but it does have sort of a back to back to back sort of thing, feeling for me at least. To expand upon what I mean with the whole Band of Brothers things, I think because we're delving into the clones a little bit, we're delving into like the minutiae. I say minutiae a lot in these
episodes.
Yeah,
it's a good word though.
It is a good word. It's fun to say. delving into the minutiae of these people that are fighting, both on both sides actually, both the Separatists and the Republic. More on the Republic side, obviously. It feels like we're getting to know the soldiers a little better. The Jedi too. The Jedi are sort of the separate thing, but they are still like the officers and Band of Brothers. It's kind of like Obi-Wan is Lieutenant Winters or so on and so forth. So yeah, it was good. I think my biggest complaint would probably be something that isn't really much of a complaint because I'm not the target demographic. The dialogue is a little it is a little cheesy at times, a little on the nose, and they over-explain quite a bit, but this is also aimed at kids, so it makes sense that it would be like that. I don't know why this annoys me so much, but specifically the droid dialogue between the regular, like, normal grunt droids.
Like the plain old battle droids?
Yeah, that they make fun of the whole Roger Roger thing from the movies a little too much. To win, if you're sinning, if we use a Simpsons term here, if you're sinning the use of Roger Roger in the movies by making fun of it and overusing it in your shows, you're now becoming the sin. they're a little too stupid. It's too. Which again, I guess this comes down to sort of target demographic, genre, all that. But we see. It almost feels like the battle droids in the Clone Wars versus the battle droids in the movies versus the battle droids in the Mandalorian show are very different battle droids. And like it makes sense in context, like in the Mandalorian, he was a kid. Spoilers for Mandalorian. But Din Djarin was a kid, so that would have been very scary for him to see. Versus in the movies, like you're fighting Jedi, so it's very easy for them to take him out. They're kind of just like barriers to the real fight, and then in Clone Wars is kind of a medium.
Yeah, they almost serve as the comic relief kind of.
Yeah, and to me it's just not that funny. That's the thing.
I don't know, that's fair.
That's for kids.
Yeah. I found them. I mean, I started watching Clone Wars when it started in 2008. So I was, I mean, I wasn't exactly the target demographic either. I started high school in 2008. But I found them humorous. I also, and I don't know this for a fact, but the impression that I've gotten through watching different Star Wars media, reading different things, is that droids can be programmed to, like, to whatever kind of style whoever's programming them wants to be. So, like, if a separatist leader wants their battle droids to be mouthier, or, like, wants them to have more autonomy or whatever, they can program them that way. And so maybe the droids on these starships that are, like, running, because that's basically the battle droids' jobs on these things, is running the starships, being just kind of like the infantry force.
Yeah, the cannon fodder.
Yeah. So maybe the ones that are, like, on the ship, maybe the separatists don't just want stupid droids all the time. So maybe they program them for that. I don't know.
Yeah. Another thing that annoys me with the droids is that, like, Obi-Wan and Anakin, or specific, more Anakin, I guess, will treat, like, they treat droids as, like, people. But then they'll go fight battle droids like they're, oh, we're not killing anyone, we're just slashing a machine. So it's, like, this weird dichotomy. And yes. I would love to see, I would really love to see, like, you're delving into the Clone Wars with the clones. Why not delve into the other side of it? Like, the droids they who treat, do have personalities in these movies.
They treat specific droids like people. And they treat specific droids like people because the connections that they have to other people. The whole reason that R2-D2, well, there's a multifaceted reason why R2-D2 is so special to Anakin. One is that he tinkered with R2-D2 and he put a lot of the features that R2 has, like the jets so he can fly and all of the things that he has inside of him, that's not standard on a R2 unit. Anakin put those in there. Number two, Anakin only has R2-D2 because Padme gave him to him. They essentially switched droids.
Yeah, but I feel like the way they're portraying these droids, they have personalities, they have fear, and they have, like, one of them, like, recognized another droid, and it.
Yeah, I agree with that. I'm just saying that that's probably why the Jedi don't see it that way, is because they have, and a lot of the Jedi also see droids as replaceable. Like, in the episode where Anakin loses R2, Mace Windu's just like, oh, okay, whatever, get a new droid. Like, I feel like it's more the humanizing droid thing, I think, is more an Anakin thing than it is necessarily a Jedi thing. Jedi see them as property. They see them as a tool to be used, kind of like how during the Vietnam War, like, patrol dogs and war dogs that were brought in by the U.S. military to go to Vietnam, unless they were, like, donated from, like, people who had them as pets and then donated them to the U.S. military, and those pets went back to their owners. But if they were, like, purchased by the U.S. military, they left them in Vietnam because they were considered machine, like, not machinery, but they were considered military property. And so when they pulled out of Vietnam, they just left them there.
Yeah.
They weren't seen as a being. They were just seen as a tool.
Yeah. So I guess my complaint isn't really with the characters. It's more with the writers for not, because they're portraying them in a certain way, but then not going into their side of things more, which I know it's the Clone Wars.
That's fair.
But I would love to see more stories about droids, battle droids. Because, like, we have, just in the future for Star Wars, I know in future Star Wars, we have a lot of, like, not just clones, but also Stormtrooper. I mean, we have Finn. Like, Finn's a next generation Stormtrooper. We have him, and I'm assuming we have other Stormtroopers as well, from older generations that have turned and are fought against the Empire. It'd be cool to see droids who have, I guess, turned against their programming or whatever, or fought against their programming and fight for, like, a side of good and stuff.
What's your favorite? I don't want to say what's your favorite episode, but what's your favorite episode, and then what's your favorite episode arc? Because there's, like, three or four different episode arcs in this season.
Honestly, it might be the same one. The Innocence of Ryloth. That's so basically, because I don't remember episodes just by titles for normally. I just remember this because I text you about it. So to explain to the audience, Innocence of Ryloth is basically the creatures with the tail thingies. It's called the Twi'lek. Yeah. They're like very prominent. Besides humans, they're like a very prominent thing in Star Wars. If you're more of a fan than I am, then you probably know their name anyway. But to explain it to general audiences, the people with the giant tails growing out of their heads, they are under siege by the Separatists at the time. And we see, which is interesting because we don't actually see the normal clones we usually see, which is Captain Rex and all of them. We see Commander Cody, or I guess he's Captain Cody at the time. But we see Cody with Obi-Wan and his forces, and we see a couple grunts in his sort of whatever their military hierarchy is, his group. We see them sort of scouting, and they're scouting a little town that's been under siege, and they meet this little girl, and they sort of learn about the culture and everything, and the little girl ends up helping them save her own people. Like it's a fairly simple story, probably something we've kind of heard in other stories before, but I just liked it, I guess, because it, like, we felt more heart with these characters. Like, yeah, they're different characters we never met before. Like, this isn't Rex, this isn't Fives or whatever. This is someone new. But I don't know. For me, I just liked that they were humanizing the clones a little more in this episode than other episodes, and I like that they sort of had the people help themselves get out of it. And I also, speaking of me hating the battle droids, there's a specific type of battle droid that they have that's like more of a commander, and I don't know why, I just like the way they portray it. Is a very like common, cool, and collected kind of droid. All the droids of this type sound the same, they sound like that, but I like them all.
Point of order though, are they Twi'leks or are they Chikrutas?
I don't. Well, they said Twi'lek. I don't know what the other one is.
Okay, no. Chikruta is what Ahsoka is.
Okay.
I'm confusing it with another arc then. Like, I know which arc we're talking about, but there's another arc where they do have to go save Chikrutas. Not the specific people that Ahsoka came from, but, like, same species.
Gotcha. So, in this one actually starts in space. It starts with Ahsoka having to take command of a squadron, and then that's where... So I texted you because Anakin basically pulls what's her name? Admiral Hollow or something?
Yeah, in Last Jedi.
Yeah, in Last Jedi. He doesn't do the lightspeed thing, but he just like rams into it. And I was like, hey, they stole that from Clone Wars.
Yeah.
Although I will say it looks a lot cooler in the movie because it's a movie. And she went into lightspeed and it was like all silent and stuff. But that was still a pretty cool character moment for Anakin and all this stuff. That was a good growth moment for Ahsoka. Side note, I expected to be a lot more annoyed with Ahsoka than I was.
I was
told that she was supposed to be annoying.
That's bringing me into my next question. Okay. What are your thoughts on Ahsoka? What do you like, don't like? And then what do you think about her relationship with Anakin, Obi-Wan, Rex? Because she is a lot of the driver, a lot of character growth of not just Anakin, but like I also think Obi-Wan and Rex as well.
Mm-hmm. I think what I don't like about her, I think, could be summed up in R2-y.
Yeah, that like was only nickname. That was only for like three episodes.
But she's still okay. There's the one that she keeps using is Sky Guy. That one I don't mind as much. I like a good rhyme. And Snips, like him having her give her a nickname too.
That
it's
I like.
Cheesy, but it's okay. But she gives everyone a nickname.
I mean, that's a result of trying to appeal to kids. I don't like R2-y and I don't like Sky Guy. Neither of those stay around, but Snips does. I don't mind Snips. I actually like it. Mm-hmm. But I think that just goes back to the types of shows that I watched as a kid, like shows like Bones and Castle and things like that. They rarely call each other by their actual names. Like in Bones, like it's like a FBI crime type show. Agent Booth literally calls, I think there's like 10 seasons, and I think he calls her by her first name like 5 times, and they're married. Like, that's just how like those shows work. So I don't know, I've never minded nicknames.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind the fact that she's giving out nicknames. I mind the specific nicknames because they're kind of cheesy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I really do like Snips. The other ones, I'm like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. Other than that, I think honestly, she's a kid. She's a Padawan, so like it makes sense that she's a lot of her personality is the way it is. She's very headstrong, which like they were like so like people were talking about how like how she's immature and like how she's kind of annoying, but she wasn't annoying to me. She's just like she's a Padawan. She's a kid, so like I don't know. Like we see a lot. They mention it in the movie. How like she's perfect for Anakin because he's so headstrong and she's basically like another version of him, which I do see. And he's sort of teaching her how to like when to be reckless and when to disobey and when not to and all this. Like we see a lot of growth with her, I think. So yeah, I mean, also I know that she's loved in the later seasons, and like I got I had just started Clone Wars, or I hadn't started Clone Wars yet, but my first taste of her, like real taste of her, was in The Mandalorian. So like I know who she becomes, and I know how much fans love her now. So I guess that may have tainted my, not tainted, but
made affected, her not so annoying.
Yeah, may have affected my opinion of her, which I will own that. But at the same time, like just meeting her after hearing how annoying she was early on, she didn't seem that annoying to me.
Yeah, and I think part of the reason people thought her annoying was maybe the Jar Jar effect of they're like, oh, well, she's kind of like that immature, spastic person. Oh, is she going to be Jar Jar? But like Dave Filoni told Ashley Eckstein, like the voice of Ahsoka straight up, like when she first started this job, she's like, people are going to hate you at first. Like this is brand new territory for Star Wars. This is one of the first times that it's a lead Jedi and it's a girl. We're bringing in a completely new angle for Anakin. People think they know who Anakin is and they have all these established thoughts on him. It's gonna shake all that up. People are gonna hate you at first. You're like, you and Ahsoka are gonna have to earn their love and their trust. And I think because he told her that up front, like she really did work really hard to make sure that her character was true to Star Wars and true to everything. And I think that's why, like, when, I mean, you already know that she leaves at some point. I'm not going to tell you when, but you do know that she leaves. When that happened, like, people were devastated. Like, they were writing in petition letters on a weekly basis to Dave Filoni to put Ahsoka back in. So to go from, we hate her, she's annoying, she's a brat, we want her gone, to, oh my gosh, how could you do this to us? I think it's a pretty interesting journey.
Yeah, she's like a less evil, not less evil, completely not evil version of Jaime Lannister.
Yes.
You mentioned Jar Jar. That is someone who actually probably annoys me more in the show than he did in the movies.
Everyone's annoyed by Jar Jar. Like him, which I do.
I liked him when I first saw the movies. As I grew up, that did not age for me. So he's a little more annoying now. But then it's dialed up to 11 because this is a kid's show where things are already kind of cheesy. So they just added the cheese to him. I do like that the scenes they gave him, he seems to accidentally trip over and fall into success, which is kind of cool for, like, it's a good characterization for him. It's mainly his voice I don't like.
Maybe. Although I do think it's interesting that the episodes in this season with other Gunkins, those other Gunkins are not, like, spastic and spacey, no, and all, like, they're
Jar Jar.
It's just Jar Jar. It's not a Jar Jar species, it's just Jar Jar.
Yeah, it's literally just
how he is.
Yeah, I don't hate it as much as it annoys me. I think most of my impressions of Clone Wars, the things that I disliked were not, like, they're not bad enough for me to dislike the show. They're just little annoying things that I can get around, because honestly the story itself is a good story. The characters are good. Like, they focus on the characters, which I like. Which I think was the whole reason you wanted me to watch this in the first place.
Yes. It's
it still doesn't change my opinion about the movie.
So. It's very character. Well, I'm going to ask you a question about that in a second, but it's very character driven. I would say it's more character driven than it is story driven. Like the stories are based around characters, whether it's a character that we've known very, very well, like Anakin or Obi-Wan, or if we're exploring a new character. Like we get a few in later seasons, we get a few really key episodes into Plo Koon, which is Dave Filoni's favorite Star Wars character. We get,
I like him too, just because of the way he looks.
Yeah, he's cool. We get some insight into how the clones are trained, how Jedi younglings that are about to become Padawans, we get some insight into how they're trained.
Oh, that's something I saw on YouTube, I think, before I even met you, was a Wookiee Jedi getting his lightsaber. It's like a wooden lightsaber or something.
Yeah.
That's, I don't know anything else from the show, from the episode. I just know that.
That's the finale for season 3, which is a very interesting arc. Or maybe it's either for season 3 or season 4. I can't remember.
Well, I think I still have a lot to go. What, there's like 7 seasons?
There's 7 seasons. Every season except 7 has 22 episodes. I think season 6 has 13, maybe. Mm-hmm. Season 6 had less because after season 5, it kind of, I think, Cartoon Network or whoever had it before Disney canceled it. But then they had done a lot of work on episodes for season 6. And so they had enough to actually, once it went on, it wasn't on Disney Plus, I don't think, but like once it went on Disney XD or on Netflix, one of the two, like they published season 6 as like the lost missions.
Mm-hmm.
And then when season 7 came back, they just X'd out the lost missions and it's just the season 6. So like if you go and look on Disney Plus, it just has like seasons 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. But when it was on Netflix, it wasn't labeled as that.
Okay. And so 7, like they made recently, right?
Yeah, 7 is the one that they, like it came out almost a year ago. So like February of 2020 was when it came out. And that's the one with where like they have all the arcs with Ahsoka and some, the new show that's coming out called Bad Batch. That's based on an arc from season 7.
Okay. And there's Rebels.
Yeah, which I haven't seen all of Rebels yet either.
I was going to say that's when blah, blah, blah happens. But
that is when blah, blah, blah happens.
I don't want to spoil that for you, especially since I haven't even seen it, so I might be mistakenly spoiling you.
I know what it is. It's when, I know what you're talking about. It's just I haven't actually seen the episode in which it happens. Next question is character development, and you haven't seen a ton of it yet because she's not, I mean, she is in a few different episodes in this season, but character development for Padme.
Okay. We're going back to the things that annoy me. Padme. One, I don't think we have enough of her, like you said. Two, when we do have her, it seems like, again, this is back to the whole child dialogue. They're trying to make it obvious that they're like, they're a husband and wife, but it's secret, blah, blah, blah. But then like, they hit it on the nose all the time. So it's not Padme's fault, it's just the way they're doing it. But I think she should find a confidant for some of this stuff.
So here's what I'll say about Padme. So she's, I mean, all time one of my favorite characters, but she becomes one of my favorite characters in the Clone Wars. In season 1, she is more of a supporting character. I think she's in...
Yeah, she's kind of just normal movie Padme.
Yeah, like in the... I think she's in the Blue Shadow Virus arc, which, like, she does play a prominent role in that arc. Like, she does kick a few droids down, and she goes and investigates the basement with the virus and whatever. So she does play a prominent part. I actually really like her in the season finale, which is Hostage Crisis, where, you know, she ends up with Anakin's lightsaber and then she has to like do all of this stuff. And like, you see a little bit more of her action-y side, and you see throughout the seasons, they gave her more prominent roles in which like, in the episodes where she is the prominent role, it's almost like Anakin is the sidekick and Padme's the main character, which is nice to see because it's usually the other way around.
Mm-hmm. I will say, maybe this is just adult brain talking, I would probably like to see more roles for her. Everything's been made already, but I'm hoping I get to see more roles with her in the Senate, because that to me was the most interesting stuff, seeing her as a committee leader. Or I don't know if she's a leader. I think it might have been
she is
Bail Organa, or one of the leaders at least.
She's one of them.
Yeah. Like seeing her. Also, they're sowing the seeds for her to fight Palpatine in the Senate fairly early on, which we didn't get to see much of in the movies. Which is also interesting. You're fighting the Chancellor from your own planet. Anyway, side note. I wish we saw more of that. I wish we saw more of her and less. She's Anakin's love interest, but she's still the main character this episode, so we're going to make her like a good fighter and headstrong, idealistic, but she's still Anakin's love interest. Like, to me, that's what I felt. I'd love to see just more of her growing the Anakin, because we've seen the Anakin story arc. There's a lot more to her than Anakin.
And you do get it. You do get more just like Padme being Padme and not Padme being Anakin's wife. I don't know that you get a full episode of her just arguing in the Senate, which like I would watch. Like yeah. I would watch just like her in a typical Senate day. But you do get an entire arc with her. I don't want to spoil too much, but she goes on a diplomatic mission to go make nice with the people that she's fighting with. Because Padme's been in politics since she was a queen at 14 years old. Like she's made connections, and the planets and people that are make up the separatists, it's not just like Count Dooku and the clone, like not the clones, the droids, like yeah, there's exactly. Entire systems of people who legitimately believe in the separatist cause, and she knows a lot of those people because they used to be in the Senate. And so there's an entire arc where she tries to go and have like this diplomatic solution. She has an arc, like a 3 or 4 episode arc with Ahsoka. So there is, like, I think they realized early on that, like, hey, we can't just have Padme as the person that Anakin has to go save all the time. Like, Padme needs her own stories.
Yeah. And even if you're, like, having her be the damsel not in distress, like, it's still hitting it on the head for Padme specifically.
Right.
I will say, I really liked the show. I feel like I'm just talking about my annoyances. But a couple more annoyances revolving around Padme and politics. First of all, for Padme, like, how are these Jedi, not even just the Jedi, how are these Jedi and smart senators and people not getting that they're together? Because the way they talk, when they're like, thank you, Master Jedi, and like it's just, again, for children. The other thing is it's supposed to be very convincing, like, separatists are supposed to be very convincing and supposed to be very, what's the word? Very appealing to be on the separatist side. Like, it's a fight for the soul of the galaxy. Like, it should be more compelling to join the separatist side, because why would there be a war if, like, people weren't willing to be on the separatist side? And we see in like, the Attack of the Clones that they need the separatists in order to have the droid army in the first place. Like, each droid is from a separate system and all that stuff. So, like, it would, which I guess maybe this gets delved into when Padme talks to the separatists, but it seems more appealing. Like, they seem to be saying, like, it's very appealing to join the separatists. While at the same time, every time we see anything with Count Dooku or Grievous, who I hadn't seen in a while, or any generals there, it's just like hitting on the nose, like, oh, these are just evil people. Evil, this is an evil army.
All that's
not
things.
Really supposed to be true. Like, they're portraying it as one thing, but then they're showing these leaders as being very evil and like flaunting their evil and being like, yeah, if you just join the Republic, we're gonna destroy your planet.
And everything you said is valid. All yeah. I can say is keep watching, because exactly what you said, as the separatist leaders being portrayed as evil, and the like, all of that gets touched on in that episode arc with the separatist leader that Padme goes to visit because she takes Ahsoka with her. That's mm-hmm. pretty much all I'll say about it. But she takes Ahsoka with her, and the main reason she takes Ahsoka with her is because Ahsoka is just kind of like, well, these people are evil, and why would you be friends with a separatist? And Padme's like, well, I'm going to show you. And so there's, yes, in story, in production, I think these characters like were already villains that we knew anyway. Mm. In storyline, it's portrayed as like that's their media spin. Like every, even on Star Wars, you have media spin.
I guess. I just, it's just the way they portray it.
No, that's valid.
They portray it that, yeah, it doesn't portray it as media. It portrays it, like, if you want to do that route, then don't show the people that you're talking about in scenes by themselves. Maybe show them through the lens of people that think they're just playing evil. And then let us get to know them later on. So like, because if we meet someone, like a guy in a show, he like does evil things and he's like, haha, I'm evil. Like mustache twirling kind of, I'm just an evil guy. We as an audience are meeting that person. There's no reason for them to be portraying themselves as evil if you're going to try to pretend that they're actually, there's some good in them and there's like nuance and stuff. Versus like if you have some other guy be like, yeah, this guy's evil. Show him doing evil stuff, but don't really let us get to know him and then let us get to know, like Jamie.
Yeah.
Kind of, I guess. Jamie was evil.
I think where you're coming from is, here's kind of where I separate the two. So, and they do delve into like who the separatists are and then who the separatist leaders are. And I think the reason why the separatist leaders, like the generals in the war and the people, like the people that they hire to fight the Republic and the Jedi and everything. I think the reason that those people are portrayed as evil and to a certain extent are, is because those people are being hired by Count Dooku and by extension Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
And so they are evil to a certain extent. Like they're being hired to kill the Jedi, versus the separatists are the Confederacy of Independent Systems. They see the Republic as corrupt. They don't want to destroy the Republic.
Yeah. Which they do. They have done a good job of showing the Republic as being corrupt, and like it seems like there's a reason why people are leaving.
Right. I think maybe that's the distinction of like the Clone Wars in and of itself was a chess game played by Darth Sidious against Darth Sidious.
Yeah.
Like,
which, yeah. That's another complaint I had with Star Wars as a whole, is very black and white. Like dark side is bad, light side is good, which made sense back when George Lucas was starting all this. Because it was like an iconic, it was a simplified story to show a world, or I guess in this case, a galaxy. But I always just, and this is just a general complaint I have with Star Wars. It's not a, I still love Star Wars. I mean, I still watch it for a reason. But like, I feel like the dark side should be a little more appealing. I personally feel like, hopefully Clone Wars will help with this, but I, like just, my arguments around whether or not it should help or not, if you should count the story, like a movie and the story, but as an overall story, I think hopefully Clone Wars will help with this, but the movie of Revenge of the Sith, it doesn't feel as good, doesn't feel as convincing for Anakin to all of a sudden turn out of nowhere. Like they've had better hints, even in Clone Wars, of people turning than they do. Like even that kid who died, the Padawan who died, in one episode, we saw how he was fighting against turning to the dark side a lot quicker in these 20 minutes than we saw Anakin, in my opinion. Again, I still love Star Wars. That's just a general complaint. I have a lot of complaints because I respect it so much.
That makes sense. My defense to that would be while the Star Wars saga has been come to know as the Skywalker saga, Episode 3 is not purely about Anakin Skywalker. Like, you have to fit so much into that movie. You have to fit, how did Obi-Wan Kenobi get from, you know, this great Jedi general to this old hermit living on Tatooine? How did Padme die? Like, you have all of these things you have to fit into Revenge of the Sith. Mm-hmm. And they did not have, like, you could have had a 5-hour movie with all the things you could have put into Revenge of the Sith.
And so I still think it could have been done a better way. And they should have made it a Skywalker. They should have simplified it earlier, like in the other two episodes. They should have simplified it in a way that it was the Skywalker saga. Because it is the story of Anakin and Luke and Leia to an extent.
Yeah.
I think they should have more Leia.
But there's so much, there's so many other layers to it. Like you can't have Anakin Skywalker without having Obi-Wan Kenobi. because like you can't have Obi-Wan Kenobi be the developed character he is without Anakin Skywalker. And Anakin's not turning to the dark side if you don't have Padme. Not that makes it Padme's fault, like some people suggest, but
I don't think you need to have Padme for Luke and Leia to be born. I don't think you necessarily need to have Padme for him to turn to the dark side. I think that was a choice they made early on and they had to stick with it. But they could have been they could have, had they had his children be a little older so that Leia remembering her mom made more sense, they could have had the children be the reason why he turned to the dark side or something like that. It could have been anything. It could have been disillusionment with the Republic, seeing that the Republic is corrupt or something.
And it could have been so many other things. Yeah, and Padme isn't the only reason why I think he goes to the dark side. I feel like it's the catalyst that Darth Sidious uses to get him there.
Yeah, I think, and again, I'm not saying, I still think a movie should stand on its own, but I think seeing, like the whole reason why I'm gonna watch Clone Wars, seeing how Ahsoka sort of, like Ahsoka's leaving, which I don't know about yet, supposedly, I'm pretending I don't know about it, seeing all this other stuff affects him will make it more believable. I understand that. And as appreciating the story, I will appreciate that. The movies as individual movies, I will still, this is the hill I die on.
Okay.
I think that's a good compromise, actually.
Yeah. My other main question was, do you feel more connected to the clones now than you did watching Attack of the Clones and Revenge of the Sith?
Oh, so much more.
Right.
That's actually one of the things I was really excited about for the show. Because they're not just clones. They have their own personalities and stuff. And we see a glimpse of that, Cody, with his name being Cody. He doesn't own a number. His name is Cody, which is kind of cool. In Revenge of the Sith, it also makes him, Cody, literally like that order or execute order 66, it will be done, and immediately going and pointing at
Obi-Wan being
blast him. That has so much more weight now.
Yes,
just with the innocence of Ryloth.
I don't think I don't think you know how that takes, why that happens and why that takes effect, which you'll get to. Did you freeze again?
I do, and I'm not supposed to.
All I will say though is, so you're not frozen anymore. All I will say is that years and years ago, like when I was like in my teenage years, I created a fan fiction story in my head for Star Wars, like where I completely like redid everything. And I pretty much had the exact, almost the exact same mechanism to why the clones flipped. I had almost the exact same idea as what actually ended up happening in the end of the Clone Wars. Like it was the execution of how I had it in my head was slightly different, but the mechanism was almost identical. And they hadn't even come up with it yet.
Mm-hmm.
Which is very interesting.
I'm trying to not talk about things that I don't know about yet, but I do know enough about it. It's really annoying for me. From what I understand, it does make sense that he flips. It just makes them more powerful because like there's this whole relationship and it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, it's like the sci-fi version of fate almost, which is something that people have evaluated in a lot of stories. But it's interesting to see in these clones who were bred as cannon fodder. They're bred as just these organic droids basically. And then they turned into not that. But then Darth Sidious, or the Emperor, Darth Sidious, Sheev, whatever you want to call him, was like, nope, you are.
Nope, you're done.
Exactly flip. What I want you to Snap. Be.
But shut up.
You're just cannon fodder. You're my chess piece.
Having the clones have personalities and getting to know them though, also makes Revenge of the Sith that much more impactful. Not just because like Cody shoots Obi-Wan out of the sky, but when Anakin marches on the temple, the clones that he has behind them, that's the 501st. That's the characters that we have gotten to know for the last 7 seasons. That's who is marching on the temple and that's who's slaughtering the Jedi. It's Anakin's clone battalion.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, that's, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. It's but my author brain, right, my writer brain is saying that's really cool. But as a viewer, that's really sad.
It's a really big, in a cool way. It's a really big gut punch. Like,
it's a great choice.
I watched Revenge of the Sith. And I hate it. Yeah, I watched Revenge of the Sith like a couple months ago, and I saw that scene. I was like, oh, I could probably. I don't know exactly which clones they are because they all have helmets on, but like I could pick out and start naming some of those clones, and they're just about to go shoot some Jedi Padawans. So.
Yeah. Yeah, because they all have different colors. Right, like the. So were they in blue? Because the blue one was Anakin's, right?
Mm-hmm. Like if you look on Revenge of the Sith, I don't think they exactly match because like it was filmed before Attack of the Clones, but they are all in blue, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah.
See, I like that kind of thing. It's great. It's horrible, but it's great.
All right, and on a good note, what was your favorite thing about the Clone Wars so far? And what are you excited? What are you hoping to see? What are you excited to see in the future episodes?
Honestly, I don't know if I can pick one thing. So I'm just going to give you a list of things I loved about it. I love that we meet other Jedi, like the tentacle dude.
Kit
Fisto. Yeah, yeah. I love him. I wish I had more episodes with him. I only got one episode with him. But I just love his characterization. I love that we meet other Jedi. Ahsoka to me doesn't fall into that category. Ahsoka to me at this point is kind of just categorized with Obi-Wan and Anakin as like main character. So seeing these side characters in the Jedi was great, but also seeing, I guess the first thing that popped in my head when you asked was the clones themselves. Like again, they still have cheesy dialogue. Like the whole clanker thing is kind of like, yeah, that's cheese, but it's, I don't mind that because just the characterization and like every episode, this is the same voice actor. Mm-hmm. In every episode, we meet a different character and it feels like a different character or a different group of characters, I can say. Well, it's basically just this one actor talking to himself. So I love that. I love delving into story. That's the thing I love about these big sort of grand theater stories. Like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars, where like we're always focused on the nobles and the important people. Getting to then meet the foot soldiers and really get to know them, I always love when stories do that. Like I love an Avengers story where we focused on, I mean, I guess they did kind of do this for Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., but the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something like that. Where like I love storylines like that where we focus more on like the grunts, the normal people. So like, I feel like it's obvious Clone Wars, you're going to focus on the clones, but so it wasn't really a surprise, but it was still very great to be able to meet the clones. The music as usual is amazing. I don't like the animation style when it comes to combat, but the actual tactical stuff, like seeing their brains think of like creative solutions, like the tactical mindset behind everything is really fun. Especially with Anakin. Anakin always has some kind of creative surprise up his sleeve, and we're starting to see Ahsoka have the same thing. Ahsoka herself, because it's kind of cool to see. Like she gives off this sort of like arrogance, like I'm the best. I'm a Jedi, and like we're gonna go fight, and it's awesome. But then when she's really tested, we get to see that she's actually pretty insecure about a lot of things, and she really has to go from. She has to let go of her pride and accept her confidence, which is a nice thing, especially for a kid's show to show. What else?
What are you excited to see or potentially see? Hold on.
I'm excited to see, not excited, but I am interested to see the whole Ahsoka thing where she has a falling out with the Jedi. I'm excited to see more of the clones. I'm at a point now where I don't want to keep meeting new clones. I kind of just want to get to know the clones I've met already more. The things I know Rex, I know Cody, but we're never really focused on Rex and Cody. We're focused on their battle groups. They're the superior officers of these grunts, and it's always new grunts. So I'd love to see, I know Fives comes back into play. I met him like once, and I just know he's important because of spoilers I know. But I'd love to see more of the other clones, like Boyle. What are they? So I don't remember some of the names. I remember the impact they gave me at the episodes they were in, but I don't remember the names. And I feel like I'd love to see more of them just being delving into their characters a little more. I need to see more Jedi. The ones I already met, I'd love to see more of them. Although I would like to see Master Plo Koon, just his double-headed sword swingingness is really cool. I don't know. I always liked him in the movies, and I don't know why, because he has like 10 lines in the entire trilogy, if that. But I still liked him when I saw him there, so I'm going to like him in this, I'm sure. Well, just blasting sword fights and
yeah, sounds
spaceship
good.
Fights. That's yeah. I'm excited for that.
Do you have a geek moment of the week this week? Because I do.
I did. And I remember thinking, wow, this is going to be a great geek moment of the week.
And you forgot it?
And then right before we recorded, I was like, what was that? I can't remember what that was.
Well, I'll tell you mine. Hopefully
it'll come back to me.
And then maybe it'll come back. So I don't remember how we got on the subject today. Oh, my dad was asking about Elizabeth Olsen. He's like, how did Elizabeth Olsen turn out so normal, like when her sisters have taken a very interesting journey. Like Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen they've been on a journey. Let's just leave it at that. But Elizabeth Olsen, pretty for all intents and purposes, has had a normal childhood, a normal acting career. And my answer was, oh, well, because she distanced herself from her sisters. Like if you watch in interviews, like she doesn't mention her sisters. People are very surprised when they find out who Elizabeth Olsen is related to. And so my mom piped up with like, oh, well, who is, like, neither of them watch Marvel movies. Oh, well, who is Elizabeth Olsen? Like, what other movies was she in? And so I pulled up her filmography to like read off the list, because I knew like primarily she's Wanda Maximoff in MCU, but I didn't know like what other films she was in. She's in a few other films, but like most famously it's Wanda Maximoff. And so as I was looking through them, obviously I saw Avengers, WandaVision, whatever. And then I saw that, I don't know if you knew this, but I didn't know this, that Wanda Maximoff is going to be in Doctor Strange, Multiverse of Madness. And I'm so excited.
I think I'd heard that at some point.
Because until WandaVision, like I didn't hate Wanda, but like she never one of my favorite characters. I didn't really understand why she was vital to the Avengers. Like I get it, but like also I could like take or leave her. But since WandaVision, I'm like, she's incredibly vital. She's gonna be pivotal to storylines in Phase 4. And so I'm really, really excited to see that she's specifically in Multiverse of Madness, because I think we're really gonna get to see that the snap and the re-snap had consequences, not like the fact like obviously the snap had consequences, but like re-snapping it didn't just bring everything back to normal. It opened up a whole world of consequences. And I'm really interested to see how that
jumping on
out.
Your
good
jumping on your geek moment of the week, because I can't remember mine right now. I think it might have been Creed related. Maybe I did watch Creed. I'll go back to that. So I started rewatching. This isn't my moment. This is a geek moment. I got curious. So I started rewatching a lot of the movies that had Wanda in them, which Amanda yelled at me for because I was supposed to be watching Clone Wars.
I didn't yell. I just.
She scolded me.
It's just like, why are you watching movies you've seen before?
I guess for 2020 and 2021 I've had short attention spans, so rather than focusing on one thing, I tend to sort of watch a little bit of one thing and then jump to something else and then jump to something else. So I was watching a lot of the Wanda movies just for fun, also to see if they ever mention Scarlet Witch, which I guess they don't. I realized that because it's an X-Men property, but now that they have X-Men they're allowed to use it.
That's why it was such a big thing when she said it.
She's like, you're the Scarlet Witch.
Yeah.
Spoilers, by the way.
That's why it was such a big thing when she said it.
Literally, the new episode is tomorrow, so.
They played it like.
Or the new episode is literally tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow. They played it like Avengers Assemble.
Listeners of this are going to.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're correct. Listeners are going to see, are going to listen to this after episode 9 is out. You are correct. Sorry about that. Mm-hmm. They played.
I feel like we're laggy right now, so editing me is going to hate this part.
I'm sorry. So they played the Scarlet Witch moment like Avengers Assemble, because the only time that's actually said is in Endgame when he says it very quietly, but they say it up. They say event, like they act like they're going to say the phrase in several different movies. Like I think in
and they cut it out.
Ultron. Ultron. They cut with Cap saying Avengers, and they cut.
Yeah, it's literally Avengers. He opens his mouth. Credits.
Because like in one WandaVision episode, they're like, oh, does she go have any other aliases? Did they call her by any other name? And they go, nope.
Yeah, I didn't catch that until Agatha was like, you're the Scarlet Witch. And I was like, yeah, duh. And then I was like, wait a minute. Do they ever use her name? And then I Googled it and I was like, oh, I guess they didn't. But yeah, that wasn't what I was jumping on. That's just a separate note. What I was jumping on for your thing was that in rewatching the movies, I'm realizing how little we actually see of Wanda. Like, she has big moments, especially in Civil War. Like, there's a lot about her. But Civil War, as much as we joke about it being an Avengers movie, it's really a Captain America movie.
Well, it is.
Like, everything.
It is Captain America. It's literally Captain America Civil War.
Everyone jokes about how it's really just an Avengers movie.
True.
But on rewatching it, no, it really is a Captain America movie. They titled that correctly. Because it does kind of just focus on him, and every other character is through the lens of him. There's a bit of Iron Man in there, but it's really still the Captain America story. So that's probably the most prominent story we get with Wanda. I haven't gotten to Infinity War yet. So if I remember correctly, which I should, I've seen it like 3 times. There is a lot of Wanda in it, but I still think there's more Wanda in Civil War, and there's definitely not that much Wanda in Endgame.
Yeah, there's Wanda plays big parts, but she does not play long parts.
Yeah, so it's really great to sort of to see a show where she, it's literally about her.
Yeah, I agree.
And Vision. I don't remember if this is the moment I literally had a geek moment of the week where I was like, this will be great to talk about on the podcast.
Write it down next time. That's what I started doing, or I'm going to start doing.
But I did watch Creed the other day. I don't know what, like, I watch a lot of workout videos. I'm trying to get in shape on YouTube. And I also watch a lot of, obviously, Marvel. I watch a lot of geek stuff. So, like, a lot of times Michael B. Jordan will come in a specific role, Killmonger, whatever, just on my YouTube feed. And I started seeing a bunch of suggestions for Creed. So, me, liking Creed, liking Rocky, liking nerd stuff, liking working out. It kind of was a nice mix. I kept watching videos, and then finally I was just like, you know what? Let me just rewatch the movie. Because I'd seen it like once or twice. I've only seen it once. So I decided to get the movie. And that was like a great moment for me. A movie has a lot, I think I say it a lot. I like heart in movies. The movie has a lot of heart. Maybe that was the movie. That was a great moment for me. I don't know if you've seen Rocky, but you should definitely watch it, and then you should watch Creed.
I've been told.
You don't really need to see Rocky to see Creed, but it's better if you do, because it's not a sequel more than it is just another expanded universe kind of situation. Like, Rocky is in the Creed movies, and it's not about him, and they explain things enough exposition-wise that you don't need to see the movies, but you should see the movies.
All right, well, I'll put it on my list.
Yeah.
All right, so that... it's a wrap for season 1. I can't believe we have a whole season of podcasts.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever made media this long. Like, this is the 10th episode. Like, this is the 10th week, 10th episode. Like, we've been doing this for months.
Yeah, I'm pretty proud of ourselves.
Yeah.
So follow us on our social media. We are planning a season 2. We're going to take a little bit of a break. We both have some things coming up that we have to do, but we are planning for season 2. We'll let you know when it's coming out. Follow us on Facebook at Plot Points with Amanda and Christian, and Instagram Plot Points AC. I'll probably be posting some stuff on there in between season 1 and season 2 that you can interact with. So we will see you in season 2.
Yeah, let us know any topics you might want us to talk about for season 2, or anything you liked or disliked about season 1, and especially if you disliked it, let us know.
Nicely.
Just let us know. Actually, no, just do start a flame war, because it'll get more people to interact with social media. Right. No, but seriously, if you like us, follow us, and let us know who you are. And we will see you next season.
Bye.
Bye.